Kailash Parikrama, Part 2 by Ranjini Ramanan, continued from the September-October issue. As the trek around Mount Kailash, the abode of Shiva, continued, it was apparent that the grace of Sri Ramana Maharishi was guiding the devotees. From the sacred flagpole-raising ceremony at Darchan, the throng of pilgrims wound their way to Dirapuk and on to Dolmala Pass, the highest point in their journey. Despite tremendous physical challenges, including altitude-related breathing difficulties and intemperate weather conditions, the divine name Om Namo Bhagavate Sri Ramanaya and the holy form of Arunachala lightened and inspired their every step. Onward journey. After 3 days of acclimatization in Lhasa, we started the drive westward to the town of Darchan, which would be the starting point of our Kailash Parikrama trek. The journey by road would take us 3 days by van with overnight halts in the towns of Shigatse and Saga. Our trusted guide Tashi, Nya Wang, our skillful driver, and the six of us Ramana Bhaktas were in excellent spirits as we commenced the journey, which would take us closer to Mount Kailash with each mile we covered. As part of our preparation, Nimi had come up with an excellent list of shlokas and Bhagavan's compositions that we could chant together. Each morning, we would sing the Margabandhu Stotram as soon as the van started to roll, praying for a safe journey. Arunachala Stuti Panchakam, Ramana Stuti Panchakam, Upadesa Saram, Shiva Puranam and Shiva Panchakshara Stotram were on our list. The group's regular chanting invoked Bhagavan's holy presence in our midst and helped allay any fear or anxiety we may have had about the arduous trek. It also reminded me how fortunate I was to be undertaking this pilgrimage with fellow devotees of Ramana as my companions. Along the way, we stopped from time to time to see places of interest like the turquoise Yamdruk Lake and the Karula Glacier. The scenery was breathtaking, and trying to spot and point out mountains that resembled our beloved Arunachala became our favorite pastime. On day 3 of our road trip, we drove through the Ali Plateau with the Himalayas looming in the background. A few miles before we reached Darchan, we caught our first glimpse of the Kailash Peak. It was hard to believe that after all the anticipation and preparations, we were at last able to see the holy abode of Shiva. The van stopped at a designated viewing area and everyone was thrilled to finally have the sacred peak within sight. Right there, led by Nimi, our group sang 10 verses from Saint Appar's Tevaram on Kailash. Video calls were made to loved ones so that they could have darshan of the peak, and we left that spot feeling re-energized for the Parikrama trek. Kailash Parikrama Day 1. After 3 days of travel in the van, we reached Darchan, which is at an elevation of 15,300 feet on the evening of June 10th. The peak of Mount Kailash looms above this small town, which was to be the starting point of our 3-day parikrama around the holy abode of Shiva. The town itself was buzzing with spiritual energy as pilgrims who were to start the parikrama the next morning were beginning to arrive. After dinner, as we walked back to the hotel with the peak behind us glowing in the golden light of the setting sun, it was almost unbelievable that we had reached the base of the hill after the many months of planning and preparation. Beneath the outer excitement was a feeling of mild apprehension about the difficult trek that awaited us the next morning. after buying prayer flags to offer at the Saga Dawa festival, we returned to our rooms and finished preparing our backpacks for the next morning. We were to carry our water for the day, layers of warm clothing, lunch and snacks to sustain us throughout the day. The items we would need for days 2 and 3, along with sleeping bags, extra food, etc., would be sent by a porter and yak. The Saga Dawa festival is the most auspicious time of the year for Tibetan Buddhists. It celebrates the birth, enlightenment, and nirvana of the Buddha. A highlight of the month-long festival is the flagpole raising ceremony at Darchan on the full moon day, which fell this year on June 11th. We had planned our trip such that we could witness this event at Darchan and then start our Kailash Parikrama on this holiest of holy days for the local Buddhists. Thousands of devout Tibetans had gathered at the grounds on the outskirts of the town of Darchan, which was also the starting point for the Parikrama. Here we met Adun, a local Tibetan, who was going to be our porter. I did not know at that time that this short, slightly built gentleman, easy to smile, his weathered face creased with deep lines, would be my benign shadow throughout the three-day hike. With the peak of Mount Kailash blessing us in the background, we added the prayer flags we had brought with us to the giant flagpole. Laden with thousands of flags, carrying the prayers of the faithful, it was slowly raised upright with the help of a crane. We too prayed for the blessings of the Buddha and Lord Shiva, passed through a small stupa called Yamdwar, and began our sacred trek at around 11 a.m. There were hundreds of people starting the parikrama with us that day. With quiet determination and complete trust in Bhagwan, our group started walking. As the day progressed, the crowd would thin out and proceed along the narrow path, each at their own pace. Excitement was high that first day, and the energy and enthusiasm of our fellow travelers was infectious. It was a bright and sunny day, and though the morning started off cold, as the day progressed, it warmed up to very comfortable temperatures. The terrain on day one of the hike was one of gentle ups and downs, but because of the elevation, we would get out of breath very quickly. The strategy to keep moving ahead was to walk at a slow pace so that we would need fewer breaks to catch our breath. Even so, every few meters we had to stop for a couple of minutes and then start walking again once our breathing settled down. It was truly about grit and determination more than anything. Physical preparedness was important, but that first day it became abundantly clear that we needed faith in the Lord and surrender to His will to complete the trek. Late morning, we took a tea break and then another one in the afternoon for lunch. The rugged landscape was beautiful, and looking up at the Kailash peak from time to time was truly a magical experience. We walked along the valley at the southwestern foot of Mount Kailash, covering 8 miles that day, and reached Dirapuk at around 7 p.m. From the hostel where we spent that night, we could see the huge rock face of the northern side of Mount Kailash. It was perhaps the closest we got to the summit and the most spectacular and clear view we had of that holy peak. Our guide was a little worried about the pace at which we had walked that day and made arrangements for another porter, which would reduce the load in our backpacks. The hostel rooms were shared accommodations with room heaters and warm beds. It had only basic facilities, but was relatively new and clean. After a quick dinner cooked by the welcoming staff at the hostel kitchen, our exhausted group went to bed immediately, as the next day we were to have a very early start. Parikrama, Day 2. Day 2 of the Parikrama was going to be the most challenging of the 3 days. We would start from Dirapuk, elevation 17,000 feet, hike up a steep and rocky path to reach the highest point of the Parikrama, the Dolmala Pass, which sits at 18,400 feet, and walk a total of 15 miles that day. That morning, as soon as I woke up, still in bed, I could sense the mighty mountain towering over the hostel in a most benevolent way, a father figure, strong and protective of the pilgrims. It was similar to how I feel waking up in Tiruvannamalai at the foot of Arunachala, Lord Shiva, our father, unmoving, unchanging, and ever watching over us. It was indeed an auspicious start to the day. We left the hostel before sunrise at 6 a.m. and from the beginning it was an uphill trek. With temperatures in the 40s, it was a cold morning, but the strenuous walking warmed us up quickly. Low oxygen levels at that elevation, combined with the rough trail, meant each step we took had to be with purpose and care. Stepping over boulder after boulder, our group continued that morning's hike with focus. There was not much talk as we were out of breath from just walking. I was mentally chanting Om Namah Shivaya with each step, and that kept me going. Our porter Adun, who kept a very close watch on us throughout the trip, was always just a few feet away from me. The Parikrama rules require that each porter be assigned to one hiker. At the beginning of the trek, our guide Tashi, almost in jest, had pointed me out to Adun as the hiker he was assigned to. Adun took this very seriously and was by my side throughout the Parikrama. A devout Tibetan, he would be chanting his prayers under his breath constantly, but he knew the mantra Om Namah Shivaya. Whenever he noticed that I was getting tired or very out of breath, he would come closer and say Om Namah Shivaya loudly as a form of encouragement. It is hard to put into words what this meant to me during the most challenging phases of the journey. It was as if Bhagwan was with me every step of the way. We did not understand each other's language, but this was never a barrier to forming a meaningful connection. Anytime a pony or a yak was close behind us, he would let out a low whistle to alert us to give way to the animals. Whenever we needed a hand to climb over a particularly high boulder, he would be there to help us up. As mentioned earlier, Lavanya, Sangeeta and I formed one group, and we were almost half an hour behind the lead group of Swami, Nimi and Sridhar. The three of us encouraged each other, checking in constantly to make sure we were doing okay. We tried to crack jokes to distract ourselves from the exhaustion and kept a steady stream of candies going to keep up the energy. Our guide Tashi also kept a watchful eye on our group. He would walk with us when we needed encouragement and try to convince us that the next pass above us was the highest point and it was only downhill after that. Of course, this was to keep us going, and there were several such passes before we reached the highest point of the Dolmala Pass at around noon that day. It was an exhilarating feeling. Rejoicing and broad smiles were on all the hikers' faces. The pass was covered with prayer flags, and we spent several minutes among those colorful flags fluttering in the wind, carrying with them prayers of the devout to the heavens. Coming down from the pass, we saw the sacred Gaurikund Lake, and soon after, we had to walk over a large section of a frozen stream. It was slippery and slushy in places and proved to be a fun adventure. Soon afterwards, the path started to go downhill very steeply. It was an arduous climb downwards as the rocks and dirt below would slip and slide with each step. Adun helped me down each boulder slowly, while behind me, Tashi was helping Sangeeta. We were in a single file as the path was narrow, with Lavanya at the back end. As Lavanya struggled to get a foothold each time down that treacherous stretch, a young Tibetan lady pilgrim appeared next to Lavanya and offered to help. The pilgrim held Lavanya's hand and guided her safely down the steep slope. At the end, when Lavanya offered her some money, the lady vehemently refused to take it and was gone in a flash. It was nothing short of a miracle. We had no doubt that it was Bhagwan who had appeared in the form of that pilgrim and helped Lavanya during that crucial time. It was 3 p.m. when we stopped for a lunch of porridge and steamed buns at a tea house. We had been walking for 9 hours at that point, and when we realized that we had another 4 to 5 hours of walking to do that day, I didn't think I could do it. Completely drained of energy, it seemed impossible to continue that day. Once again, it was from our group of determined devotees that I got the courage to get up and resume walking along the southeastern valley of Mount Kailash. It was nearly 8 p.m. when we reached the hostel near the Dulstripuk Monastery that night. Too tired for dinner, I went straight to bed and woke up refreshed the next day. It was purely Bhagwan's grace that all the exhaustion had just vanished and our group was excited to start walking for the third and last day of the parikrama. To be continued in the January-February issue.